Hello, welcome. Welcome to the Yellow Dog Sangha on this freezing evening. I'm cold sitting in my house. Burr. So good to see you tonight. Learning how to meditate. That's what I'm doing. Learning how to do it correctly, which is important. Before we start, let's say what a wonderful day to Martin Luther King Day, a wonderful day to celebrate. We have had great leaders, have we not? And thank goodness for his nonviolent tactics and what he was able to do as a result of that. And so I picked out a couple of his quotes, and they're dharmic. They're the truth. One says, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that." "Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." Buddha himself said that. Martin Luther King said, "I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word in reality. This is why right, temporarily defeated, is stronger than evil triumph." She says, "Make a career, humanity. Commit yourself to the noble struggle for equal rights. And you'll make a better person of yourself, a greater nation of your country, and a finer world to live in." How precious, and how precious the memory is of someone on the planet who led with an open heart. So here we are on lesson two. And as Randy says, we're understanding what taking one seat means. Right posture. I have to say, I really got into my principal mode last week. Did you notice? I was really stressing that posture. But don't take my stress onto your practice. You just relax. But the posture is important. That's what I want you to remember. And also scanning the body, and a bit about the breath sensation as the primary object that we're going to talk about tonight. But let's review a little bit. When we take the one seat on a meditation cushion or chair, we become, remember, our own monastery. We create the compassionate space that allows for the arising of all things. It's, "Oh, I don't want all things to arise." Well, who does? But they will. And that's the good and the bad and the ugly of the meditation. Because we will, through the pain of the things that maybe we've run away from, we actually know what to do with the pain of and the sorrows of life. And so all those particular emotions that are difficult for us on a daily basis will receive attention. And as a result, something beautiful happens. We do fall in love with more of our life than maybe before meditation. So right posture. Remember, our teachers just said, sit up and don't move. Mm-hmm. Now, with saying that, you know that there's going to be times that we're going to move, and so be it. So at the same time, with the posture, the erect posture, we must also have a sense of relaxation. It's an openness, a gracious receptivity to life. Whew. And scanning the body. Whole body awareness. I had no idea that I could live within the whole body awareness. So that's why we are practicing scanning the body. And as I said last week, when our teacher said, go to your body, I went to my head. Because that's all I've spent my time noticing within my body. Well, that's going to change with meditation. We're going to get a glimpse and really be able to use and manifest all the wonderful things about that comes about with body, whole body awareness. Because where do we go when we are directed to go within the body? We have to ask ourselves that. And the scanning will enable us to be more and more comfortable with hanging out the whole body. So we'll learn that the body has a lot to offer us that we're not even in touch with. And we tune in to our six senses where thought is added in this practice. And it's our doorway. We begin to pay attention. It's our doorway to experiencing life. It's most important to be conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we fear, what we taste, what we smell. Feel. Smell, and what we think. Could be explained as using and knowing more so the body and the mind at its most capacity. We are ignoring too many things about ourselves, not even knowing how precious and what we're missing. So really, 100% living is found in the awareness of the whole body. And what's our choice? Well, we know, because we've been practicing that a lot, our choice is to live our lives through the mind, through our minds. And what happens there is we are not able to experience it. We're creating it. And so there's a big difference when thinking about life and then experiencing life. Huge difference. And we begin to practice that with our meditation. So that's where some of the places that meditation can take us. So what happens if we begin to utilize all of our senses and everything that's been given to us at this particular time? Well, there arises a knowing that comes with being awake in the present moment. And it's a knowing that is not through the mind. And we'll have lots of lessons on the nature of the mind, and we'll begin to work on how to relate to the crazy mind, because we all have the crazy mind. We know that. But to get to know it is to love it, maybe. So a knowing comes with being awake and with optimal living and happiness. Can we be more happy? Yes, we absolutely can be more happy. And that's our intention for meditating. Now we're stressing on the practice of the breath. So I went to The Path with Heart by Jack Kornfield. And I have it on iBook, so I scanned it and said, okay, I want to hear everything he has to say about the breath. So it comes up, 215 entries. So how important is the breath in insight meditation? More important than you'll ever know. So again, relating to our breath in a way that maybe we have not done in the past, but that brings so much more release and peace to our everyday life. And Jack says, the focusing of attention on the breath is perhaps the most universal of the many hundreds of meditation subjects used worldwide. So we're training our mind to go to the sensations of the breath, and it takes training. And we're not failures when we do our very best and it does not stay. So I'm going to tell you right away that it's not possible. We're not even created to be with that much concentration all the time. So I think probably if you're enlightened, that may be so. But as we are practicing, then we have to give ourselves a lot of space and a lot of compassion and understand that we are perfectly imperfect. And we are training our minds to go to the sensations of the breath to experience a concentration, a one-pointedness. Staying until we notice our mind has left the breath, and then it's okay. One time in our practice, because our teachers stressed the breath so much, we thought that was the whole practice, the breath, because it stressed so much at the very beginning, but it's such a necessity. And so it's the returning to the breath, not only in our practice that we do, a daily practice, but any time during the day. So we take this practice with us, thank goodness, because it's all about the breath. So the returning to the breath is the practice. But there's some caveats. Feeling your breath and your body as you sit without trying to change anything. It's a huge concept, I can say. Not to change anything. Have we always heard, let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be? That's exactly what it means. Is letting life unfold quite naturally. Instead of interrupting it, and you're saying, well, I'm happy interrupting life. Well, you can be happier with not interrupting life, and we will be studying how to do that. How we interrupt a preciousness, a level of happiness, a level of being that we may not have known existed. So as we breathe, we want to sense our capacity to open in body, heart, and mind. We want to have that fresh beginning mind always, because that enables us to open to all possibilities. And some of these teachings are not something that the rational mind will take lightly. But that's okay, because we'll study the rational mind too and what exactly to do with it. So we're going to breathe softly and gently and just feel whatever arises. Don't have to comment about it. Now, we will learn that it's okay. We quite naturally will maybe like or dislike. It's a quick reflection within, but we don't have to go with it, because that's a natural phenomena. It's in us. So we discover we can let go and trust. We can let the breath breathe itself. Let the breath breathe itself. And the natural movement of life carry us with an ease I did not know until I started practicing. And as Rumi says, it takes us to a field where we are all bound. So breathing meditation can quiet the mind, open the body, and develop a great power of concentration. So what does concentration do for it? Well, it allows the mind and body to settle, and we begin to see quite clearly and intimately what is happening within. That's our curriculum. We don't want to try to control the breath. Only notice its natural movement as a gatekeeper notices what passes by. And you'll get to know yourself within, and you'll say, oh my goodness, I am a chatterbox. Well, that's okay. Because you just want to watch, be aware, don't want to criticize yourself, but be with the chatterbox and understand that that's just part of it. My mind was trained to comment on everything. Well, guess what? You don't have to. And when someone told me I didn't have to, it was a huge relief. But I had to learn how not to. So it's training. We're just retraining ourselves. Jack, this is a quote, then as concentration grows, we remember our breath in the middle of a thought. Later, we can notice thoughts just as they arise or allow them to pass in the background. So focus on the breath that we are undisturbed by their movement. As we continue, the development of concentration brings us closer and closer to life. Life? Life that is lived in any given moment. And it's like the focusing of a lens. When we look at pond water in a cup, it appears clear and still. But under the simplest microscope, it shows itself to be alive with creatures and movement. In the same way, the more deeply we pay attention, the less solid our breath and body become. So every place we feel breath in our body can come alive with subtle vibrations, movement, tingles, flow. The steady power of our concentration shows each part of our life to be in change, in flux. Change in flux. It's like a river, even as we feel it. So, end of the quote. As we learn to let go into the present moment, that's when we'll experience the breath breathing itself. Allowing the flow of sensations in the body to move and open. It's the peace. It's the peace that we can touch. It's the only place on the planet where we can find peace. Truly, it's the peace within. And Howie Cohen, one of our teachers, he used to say, oh, find the ease of the present moment. Boy, when we find the ease of the present moment, we're no longer compelled because to be other than in our heads or not being paying attention to life, because it's different. You'll feel it directly. When you start living more in the present moment and less in the mind, then the present moment naturally becomes more, much more compelling. So we can find the ease of the moment, of any moment, of the present moment. Regardless of what is happening around us, inside or outside. So, remember our only choice with this is we're trying to go to our mind. So we're thinking about life instead of experiencing it. And that's a huge step. And so, be here now. So when we do reach, and we have, we've reached this peace before. The peace we're talking about is something that arises within us quite naturally when we see a sunset or the face of our children, our loved ones. Or we are just totally present in the present, totally present in any given moment. And it's enough. And it's enough. So, if we find peace within, this is what our teachers say, then there will be peace without. So, I've been told more than once, the nicest, most precious thing that I can do for my peace, for the peace of the people I love, for the peace of the whole world, is to work with the peace within. Thank you. Okay, now we get to open it up to you. My Facebook. My